That was beautiful. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank Ron Pepper for offering the sermon, the reflection this morning. I remember when Ron and Deb Pepper came to Knox a couple years ago, first time, and they attended a course that I was facilitating. And I just experienced Ron as a man of deep understanding of the scriptures, of wisdom, of integrity. And so we are very blessed to have him as the acting lead of stewardship and finance. And I think you're going to, they always say that there's at least one sermon in every person. I know that, I'm guessing that Ron has more sermons than one, but I know that it's going to be a really meaningful conversation today. So thank you, Ron. Please welcome Ron.
Thanks, Jennifer. I sincerely hope that this is the one. As Jennifer mentioned, I'm the acting team lead of stewardship and finance. The acting part is that if anyone who wants to come along and be the lead is welcome. However, I'm the acting lead, and we have several members on our committee that I'd like to introduce, and maybe they could stand so everyone will know who they are. Ken Fanning. Brenda Assel, who is not here today. Carolyn Hamill. Bev Harrison. Jennifer, of course. Jennifer Ferguson and Jerry Garnett. It's important that you know who these people are, because when times are not good and there's very little money in the coffers, these are the people that don't sleep. When times are good and there's lots of money in the coffers, these are the people that worry about the bad times and don't sleep. So in either case, we don't sleep. We're all working on your behalf. Our fiscal year runs from July the 1st to June the 30th. So we don't operate on a calendar year, we operate on a fiscal year. And for that fiscal year that will end this June, we've budgeted for about $360,000 in expenses. That's a lot of money. It covers the salaries we pay, it covers the looking after the sacred spaces, and it pays for all our programs. And I'm happy to tell you that our expenses are right on target. We have not spent more money than we have budgeted for. For our revenue, we budgeted this year about $354,000. $255,000 of that comes from our tithes, what we put in the baskets on a weekly basis. That's a lot of money, $250,000. We managed to raise about $99,000 through other sources, such as the Fall Fair, our concert program, and other fundraisers that we do during the year. So we've budgeted for a total of $354,000. However, this year, our revenue has not kept the pace with our expenses. So we're now projecting a deficit of about $50,000 at the end of June if we keep on with the same pace. That was the estimates that we made at the end of January. So we have a few months to try and make things up, but the reality is we will be in the hole by about $50,000 if we carry on in the same pace. Now, that's not a disaster. We're not going to have to close the doors if that happens. But if it keeps happening year after year, of course, we will have to make some changes, changes that we don't necessarily want to make. So keep this in mind. I'm going to get to the important part of the reflection coming up. This is just the bad news at the beginning. So we want to reflect on that. After all, we call this a reflection. So I'm going to go back a bit in history. Scientists tell us that the universe is 13.8 billion years old and that the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old. According to Yuval Harari, modern humans, us, Homo sapiens, first appeared on the Earth about 200,000 years ago in a small corner of Africa. That's a very short time period compared to the age of the universe or the age of the Earth. Other forms of humans arose and went extinct long before the rise of Homo sapiens. There was Homo erectus, Denisovans, Neanderthals. They all came and went. A few survived the birth of humans, but the last of these, the Neanderthals, were gone by about 40,000 years ago. For the first 130,000 years, sapiens were a rather unremarkable form of humans. But about 70,000 years ago, they underwent what Harari calls a cognitive revolution. In other words, they got smart all of a sudden. After that time, there is evidence of the use of tools in new and significant ways. Among the things sapiens learned was the ability to organize large groups. No other species has been able to organize large groups like sapiens. The ability to figure things out, the ability to improve their life, and the ability to alter their environment. In other words, they gained a real ability to change. I believe that this is the first evidence of God's intervention in human affairs. It was not to be the last. Sapiens migrated from Africa and populated all corners of the globe. They even got to Australia before the time of boats. How they did that, I don't know. They arrived even on Vancouver Island about 16,000 years ago. The ancestors of the Pentlatch people had arrived. About 10,000 years ago, sapiens discovered agriculture and the world underwent a huge change. These hunter-gatherers stopped roaming for food. They laid down roots, planted crops, domesticated animals, and built cities. We became civilized. Three of the things that they invented at this time period, one of them was money. Second one was government, and then government's evil twin, taxes. 2,000 years ago, there came in what is now Palestine an itinerant preacher who wandered through the wilderness preaching a new message of love and hope. Like others who had come before him, he was persecuted and killed by the authorities. Unlike the others, he was not forgotten. In fact, his message was spread far and wide by his followers. The most significant was Paul, who traveled the known world bringing the message of Jesus to the Gentiles, and who was responsible for writing much of the New Testament. Of course, Peter the Rock also spread the message and traveled to Rome to start the church there. In fact, the Catholic Church looks upon Peter as the first pope. Both Peter and Paul were killed for their efforts. A third disciple was James, the brother of Jesus, who remained head of the Christian church in Jerusalem for over 30 years before he died violently. James believed that Christians needed to observe all the customs of the Jewish religion and did not show much interest in Gentiles. However, James felt that simple belief in Jesus was not enough. He believed that a follower of Jesus must care about the welfare of people. His ministry concerned themselves with caring for the poor and hungry, and he was known as James the Just. Although all the disciples of Jesus are important to us, I feel that Knox United Church is a church that descends from the philosophy of James. Why do I feel that way? Knox United Church, through its community programs, demonstrates that we care about the community. We want the world to be a better place because of our existence. Furthermore, when you first walk into Knox, nobody asks you, "Have you been saved?" like they may ask you in other churches. You're more likely to be asked, for which ministry would you like to volunteer? Please sign on the wall. And what do these ministries do? They administer more than 90 different programs which look after our building, our congregation, and the wider community. We have all seen the wheel of our 9 ministries, and witnessed the programs that we seldom think about the effect these programs have on people's lives. We believe that our community and the world is a better place because of Knox, and we allow everyone who wishes to be a part of us to belong. So what is Knox Church? Knox United Church is not the building, it's the congregation. Who are they? Well, everyone sitting here today is part of the congregation, whether they are members, adherents, or people who just show up to celebrate with us. Everyone who has ever identified themselves with Knox United Church is part of our congregation. Everyone who has ever been a part of Knox in the past, even before we became a United Church. Everyone who will associate themselves in the future is a part of our congregation. When we consider the congregation in that manner, it humbles us. Knox has thousands of members of our congregation, and we who sit here today are just a small part of this enterprise. The congregation is like a river flowing through time. We are connected with those in the past, just as we are connected with those in the future. By the same token, we are connected with the wider church. And in that sense, we are connected to Paul and Peter and James, and ultimately to Jesus. That's only 2,000 years ago, about 80 generations. Not very long when you consider the age of our earth. Just as we have a responsibility to be good witnesses for Christ, we have a responsibility to those who came before us and those who will come after us, our future congregation with whom we are connected. Our congregation has produced miracles in the past, and we will need to produce miracles in the future. What are we talking about, these miracles? Well, we can just start looking around ourselves. We own one of the finest church facilities one can imagine, and we own it mortgage-free. That's a miracle. A few years ago, we purchased an organ worth $90,000, and we raised all the money ourselves through volunteer labor, concerts, and special gifts. Another miracle. 15 years ago, we had the need for funds, and the idea of a fall fair arose. Last year, the fair raised over $30,000, another miracle. This year, 16 children participated in our nativity play. Given the demographics of our church, that's a miracle. Our membership class has an enrollment of 11 people, miracle. Just when we realized that our financial position was in need of help, in walks Elida Jewer with the Acorn Tree Daycare proposal. God is looking after us. When Jesus walked the earth performing his miracles, people worked very hard to get his attention. There are stories of sick people being lowered through the roof to get his attention. Lame people dragged themselves onto pathways so they could touch his robe. We need to work just as hard to make our miracles come true. Each miracle requires prayer and hard work. Fortunately, our congregation is full of volunteers who pray. We don't know how many volunteer hours we donate in a year. Any estimates are likely too low, but let's try. If we have 100 volunteers who donate 400 hours per year to the church, that's like an hour a day. That's 40,000 volunteer hours. Let's say every hour of volunteer time is worth $15, not a particularly high wage. That volunteer time is worth $600,000 in a year, almost twice our budget. It's humbling. So we need a miracle, And how can the congregation help with our miracle? Well, I have 7 ideas. 1, everyone should consider their level of tithing. If you give $10 a week into your tithe, consider making it $11. That's not very much, but it's a 10% increase. And if we just get 10% more, we'll achieve our goals. Consider making a special gift at Easter. Support our fundraising endeavors. We have concerts going on all the time. The more you go to the concerts, the more funds arrive in our to help with the church. Encourage new members to our congregation. Offer us ideas. Consider donating stock if you have a stock portfolio and you can donate a stock, and there's tax advantages to donating a stock to a charity. Consider leaving a special gift through a will or bequest if that interests you. Jane Harding from the United Church of Canada will be visiting us at the end of April to assist you. And another idea that was a last minute thought of mine, we're all filing our taxes pretty soon. Remember those evil twin taxes? If you get a tax refund, consider donating that to the church and getting a tax receipt for that. Before I finish, please note that some miracles are already underway. Our concert program has just started and is already making an impact. The BTU Bentel, Ulrich, and Taylor concert was virtually sold out. The Adam Brakel concert made a huge impression on those who were there. Imagine Little Old Knox Church bringing a world-class musician to our venue. It was astounding. We expect a much healthier financial picture from the concert program in the second year because we're getting established. The Acorn Tree Daycare will help in our next fiscal year to the tune of about $12,000. There are more plans for the use of our space in the coming years. New members are joining Knox as the word gets out that we are an open, inclusive congregation. Thank you for listening to these remarks. Deborah and I came to this church to worship God, and we have found a home and friends. Now I turn the altar to others who have had a home and friends.
Thank you so much. There's going to have to be a second and third. I'd like to invite 2 other very special people, Mert Omnis and Jeanette Mossing, to share a moment of sharing. They came within the last year and a half to Knox and have found a home here. And they give so much of themselves already. When they walked in here, their attitude was, what can we do to serve? And they've been serving, both of them, for over 80 years. And they're remarkable people. What's neat about Mert and Jeanette, too, is they have been friends since high school. They met each other in high school, and then both became nurses, and then drifted apart through the years, and they found themselves back here in Parksville at Knox. So it's a story of soul friends. So I'd like to invite Mert and Jeanette to come forward to share how Knox has been a home for them and why they give to Knox.
Good morning. I'm Jeanette. Can you hear that? Why do we give to Knox? Simply put, It's because we both are very grateful for how Knox enriches us in our spiritual journey and provides a faith community. When asked to do this, Bert and I listened and found we agreed on every reason we are glad to be able to give to Knox.
Good morning. My name is Mert Omnis. I'm very grateful. Oh, sorry. Did you hear me? No? My name is Mert Omnis. I'm very grateful to Jennifer and to the congregation of Knox Church in helping me on my spiritual journey. I gladly donate time and money so the church may prosper and so that other people may also be helped in their spiritual journey. I find that the people in the congregation are very warm, welcoming, and caring, and I found genuine friends here. Initially, after hearing Jennifer's message that spoke directly to my needs, I was convinced that Knox was the place for me. The second person that drew me here was Mary Ellison, who hardly let me in the door without smothering me with words of kindness and her sincere interest in me.
To add, I found a church home again here at Knox 2 years ago, after 3 decades without a church community. My first Sunday, Lorna and Mary Ellison were there to greet me warmly and graciously. I felt an immediate sense of the caring among the people. The music was joyful. Jennifer gave a heartfelt message about how Jesus teaches us to live our lives and grow in our faith. It didn't take long to know there are a lot of caring and committed people here, and I wanted to be part of helping wherever I could. Stewardship meant giving of my time, talents, and money.
The 9 programs offered by Knox gave us lots of opportunities. Today, Jeanette and I attend Bible study to grow in our faith, centering prayer to deepen our faith, the book studies to increase our knowledge and keep us open to new ideas. Excuse me. Manna to make sandwiches for the homeless, the gathering place to welcome people from Knox and the community for coffee and lunch. Jeanette is in the choir and a part of the prayer chain, and I do visitation for pastoral care. We both are on kitchen duties. We thought the ministry and personnel program didn't apply to us as we don't hire. However, it does apply as we are very grateful for and strongly believe it is important to support our leaders at Knox, those who are paid and those who volunteer, volunteers who lead the many groups and help Knox to be a place that cares, shares, and dares.
Farmers in Saskatchewan in the Dirty 30s had food and shelter, but rarely money. At around 3 years of age, my parents gave me a penny to place in the offering plate as it was passed around. So that with that penny, I first learned to give what I was able to give as years went by. Even when in nurse's training with our $6 monthly allowance the first year, I would save 10%. After the many years not connected to a church, I am very grateful to have a home church again, where I feel very blessed and where much has been given to me.
When I was in Sunday school, giving was a proper thing to do. Every penny helped. After graduating from nursing in 1956, my monthly income was $150 a month. And when I received my RN diploma, it was $200 a month. So my weekly tithe was $4. I don't know what that would amount to, would mean in today's currency. Jeanette and I have been given the privilege to give money for the construction of a new church sign. We both feel that the sign is a very effective way to let people know we are an active church community and everyone is welcome.
We want to see the church prosper for generations to come. John 1:16 says, "From this abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another." We know and have learned from our scripture readings today, again, that whatever we have been able to give, we always seem to have enough, and often even more than we need. We know for sure that it is so. It gives us much joy to give, and at Knox, we get back so much more than we could have imagined. So we say thank you to each of you at Knox.